We've a couple of weeks ago we started a series and we were exploring some common questions or objections that people have to having faith in Jesus Christ. And we started with this one. We talked about why, God, would you let bad things happen? And other questions like, you know, God, if you're really real, why is there evil in the world? And all those type of questions. So if you want to listen to that, it's on our Port City podcast, and we can show you how to, you know, to access that if necessary. But that's on there. But this week, I just wanted to dive off into a new topic because I'm very aware of an objection or a thought or a question that people have in this world today, and it's around the whole thing of religion in general. And when we talk of religion in general, I suppose we're encompassing not just the Christian faith, but you know, there's Islam and Judaism and Buddhism and Hinduism and a whole bunch of different belief systems in this world, and they really some of them don't have a lot in common, except they believe in a higher being. Where the Christian faith, we certainly believe in God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. But the word religion seems to encompass all of that. And sometimes people throughout the world will say things like this, isn't religion doing more harm than good? Isn't religion doing more harm than good? And, you know, the reality of that is, in some cases, I don't know if it's doing more harm than good, but it certainly does some harm. And all of those belief systems, and unfortunately even the Christian faith, has been known to be involved in stuff that has harmed the communities that they're in. And so I wanted to talk about that because I think it can become a question in people's hearts. And one of the reasons that they say, I don't want anything to do with God or Christian faith or anything like that, because you know, it would be better if we didn't have them at all. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we just never had religion? And so can we jump off into that and discuss that? Because unfortunately, we see people who actually have that thought, and really, I'm not here to argue, but I just want here to maybe place another thought in the minds of that. And maybe if you haven't got that thought today, maybe I'm talking kind of, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. You know, probably that's not what I think, but maybe there's other people who will definitely have that question for you. And it would be really helpful to then be able to answer them. A survey in 2017 was conducted in 20 different nations by Harvard University in America, and one of the nations was Australia as well, and 63% of the people said, yep, it does seem religion does more harm than good in this world. And which was a bit sad to come up with that percentage. I'm not quite sure what the basis of them saying that was, but that's a reality. And there's plenty of other social media and other people who've written about this subject and put things out there. And there's a guy called Christopher Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens is a well-known atheist. If you didn't know what an atheist is, it's someone who doesn't believe in God. And he wrote a book called God Is Not Great. And with a subtitle, Religion Poisons Everything. And so I was thinking about that. Is that really true? Is that really true, that religion is really a source of evil and bigotry and hatred and violence? Is that true? And I know in my heart that I kind of, and all of us would probably say, well, no, but why? Sometimes it's the why that we don't know. Why is that not true? And so I want to just share with you three common thoughts today that I think, well, maybe not common, but certainly people would think about in that, and why they would say we'd be better off if we didn't have religion in this world today. And if I dive off in it, the very first one is something that we could all understand, relate to. In the very first one, people say we would be better off without religion because religion causes violence. Have you ever had someone say that? Well, you know, religious wars all over the world. It's just, if we didn't have it, we wouldn't have the wars. We wouldn't have that unpeace in our world. And there is 9/11, which apparently was religiously motivated. You know, the Twin Towers in New York City were taken down. There is terrorist attacks across the world, once again, religiously motivated. There's civil unrest in Palestine, in the Middle East, and in that whole area of Israel, Palestine, that seems to be religiously motivated. And then we could talk about the Protestant Catholic wars in Ireland. So the list just keeps on going on. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? All carried out, in some cases, in the name of God. So what do they do? What do they say? Well, let's just do away with religion because we'd have peace in the world. If we get rid of religion, we would have peace. But if we were to look at societies down through, even in this last 100 years, look at nations in this last 100, just for a moment, and please understand that I mightn't have a whole lot of scriptures today, but the very thoughts that I'm sharing are based on the biblical thoughts of what the Word of God says, so just hang in there with me. But if we were to look at the last 100 years in regards to this question, oh well, this world would have much more peace if we just didn't have religion, because religion just stirs up a violence and wars. And well, there's partly true to that, but let's just look at the other side of the coin and look at the reality of that. If we were just to look at the last 100 years, the most atheistic societies, so societies that have kicked God out of their countries, that would have to be communist China, that would have to be communist Russia, and that would have to be Nazi Germany, just to name a couple. And if we were to look at how many people died under those regimes, Chairman Mao in China, under his communist regime, 65 million people were killed. And this is just in the last 100 years. If we were to go to Russia and look at Stalin, 20 million deaths in a mass murders. If we were to go to Nazi Germany, it's well documented, 10 million died, 6 million of them were Jewish people. So, and that's not even talking about, I haven't even mentioned, but let me mention it, Pol Pot in the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia killed a fifth of the population of his country, which was around 2 million people. So I'm just trying to highlight something. I'm not trying to bring up, you know, vicious and terrible past, but that's a reality. So within the last 100 years, countries that kicked God out of their country and said, we're an atheist country, murdered more than 100 million people. I was just thinking through, and I was aware of a song that was written by John Leonard. For those of us who don't know, he was a part of that group called the Beatles. Great, look at that. And you know the song. And he wrote a song called Imagine. Imagine all the people, blah, blah, blah. You remember that one? And it's a great tune. It's a nice melody. But then I started to look at the words, and I was quite surprised at what the words had to say. Because, you know, sometimes you just hear a song and you don't ever really hear the words. And I'm not saying the Beatles, they wrote some great songs and some good songs. But this one's an interesting song because it says here's the words, at least the first three quarters of the song. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Well, Pol Pot, Stalin, and Hitler tried it. They said, "Got out of our country," and it didn't result in peace. It resulted in incredible torment and heartache, literally for millions and millions and millions of people. So we don't get a peaceful civilization. We get a civilization that's ruled by terror. Because who knows, whoever has the most guns wins. Come on, that's what we could... Basically, whoever's got the most weaponry right now between Ukraine and Russia is going to win. And that's why the rest of the countries are providing Ukraine, and it's why Russia is looking to China for provision. Whoever's got the most guns wins. Isn't that a terrible way? Isn't that a terrible thing? But please hear me out. I'm not saying that every atheist, everybody who doesn't believe in God is violent. No, there's a lot of nice atheists in the world, okay? No, not all of them are like that. But what I am saying is not so simple as to say religion equals violence, therefore no religion equals no violence. It's not as easy to say that. And here's the point. Violence is not inherent within religion or Christianity, but violence is inherent within humans. Okay? And so, the reason that we see people fighting each other, people wanting to, is not because of religion, it's because of the human heart problem. It's always because of the human heart problem. And, you know, the fact that, Russia has gone to war with Ukraine is not because of some religion, the lack of it, or there is or isn't religion in that country. It's because of the human heart problem. The point is, they say, let's do away with religion because it's the catalyst for violence, is not true, because even in the most non-religious societies, violence has been outworked. Now, the other point that we have to consider, which is great, which is the great point I like talking about, is the teachings and the examples of Jesus. And yes, Christians have committed acts of violence, but you have to ask, have those actions aligned with the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ? Or are they in contradiction to the example and teaching of Jesus? And when you look at the life of Jesus in the Bible, you don't get any hint of violence towards anyone who didn't even those who didn't believe his message, even those who turned their back on him. Jesus taught us, and I know that it sounds like a statement that's almost, it rolls off the tongue really easy, but it's a reality and a truth. Jesus taught us to love our enemies and not to kill them. He taught that. And now, it's an easy statement to say. It can be harder to do. I appreciate that, but that's what he said. And even at the cross, as Jesus hung there bleeding and dying, and he didn't take long to die because he was in such a bad state. Even as he lay there, he even forgave those who crucified him. And when Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, pulled out a sword when Jesus was about to be arrested by the Pharisees, the religious people, Jesus told Peter to put the sword away. The job's not going to be done with violence, Peter. And Jesus didn't promote violence, rather Jesus promoted forgiveness and mercy even to those who persecuted him. So it turns out where violence has been done in the name of Christianity has been in no way inspired by the teachings of Jesus Christ. People who have done violence in the name of Jesus have done it in the opposition to and not in agreement to what Jesus had to say and do. And the reality is that sometimes Christianity, it can be as bad as any other part of religion, but the reality is that's usually not anything to do with Jesus Christ. In actual fact, of all the religions in the world, the five main ones are, as I said before, Judaism, Islam, Hindu, Buddhism, Christianity. Of those five, the truth is that sometimes they throw Christianity in with the other religions simply, but there's a big difference. And the difference is, while they all believe in a God or some kind of God, the truth is they don't all believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the defining factor usually between so many other belief systems. And even when Jesus came to the earth, there was the religious sect, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were terrified and they were horrified that Jesus turned up and said he was the Son of God. I mean, he messed their thinking up. He messed their religion up. He messed it up because they were so engaged in a religious thing but not a relationship thing with their Heavenly Father. So when people sometimes say, well, religion just does more harm than good, I wanted to give you some understanding that that's not totally true. And the difference, the things that Christ taught certainly didn't direct us to be involved in violence. Moving on, the second question, wouldn't we be better? This is what I've heard. People can say this. Wouldn't it be better without religion because religion causes division and intolerance? Oh, this is a good one. The thinking goes this way. The problem with religion is that it tends to divide people up and create a sense that there are those that are good and those that are bad. There are those that are superior and those that are inferior. There are those that are insiders and those that are outsiders. There's the Queensland Maroons and there's the New South Wales Blues, all that type of stuff. It wants to divide people up. They're saying that's what Christianity, it just wants to divide people up. So they say, religion is a way of dividing people up, and religion is so divisive. Wouldn't the world be more together and more at peace if we just got rid of religion? But the truth is, I think something that you could all understand, that we are basically, and I've tried to thought of how I could basically, the best way to describe this. We're tribal in nature. We all like to be a part of a group, don't we? Of course we want fellowship. Of course we want connection. There's social groups that people connect with. I'm a part of a couple other social groups in there. I'm a part of a running club. And there's a lot of people there that go to the running club because they just runners. And then there's a bike club, and they want to be together because they enjoy bike riding. And there's people who group together because of their nationality. That's okay too. It doesn't mean that we have to stay in that group all the time. We can spread out and appreciate the other cultures. We need to. In our church, we do. We've got so many wonderful cultures. Amen? Praise God. But you know, some people group together around language and the language they speak. And nothing wrong with that. We are tribal in nature. We do definitely love to get together because we love to be in a group that we can identify and we can relate to. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just not religious people who do this. All people do this. All people do it. And we find a group we like, so we hang out together. I think that's understandable, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. There was a song Pink Floyd wrote, Another Brick in the Wall. Do you remember that song? I wasn't really into it, but I do remember it became one of those iconic songs, just Another Brick in the Wall. You know, the truth is, you might be with your group, that brick here, and then there's another group over here in this brick, but you know, ultimately we can be connected with the bricks in between. It's just that we love to hang out with bricks of similar colour, sometimes, and that's fine. Anyway, it's interesting that I find a little ironic. Ironic means that, you know, when someone says something they believe, but ultimately they don't follow through with it. Ironic is that some of the groups who in Australia say things like, we believe in tolerance, we believe in inclusion in Australian society, but also, they can be the quickest to stand up against those who don't share their views. A group of people of certain sexual beliefs declare they are inclusive of all people. But then someone says, don't teach our children that you can change from a boy to a girl. You watch them get very exclusive and very upset. Come on. In other words, those who declare the problem with religion is it divides people up, then themselves divide people up. So please understand that tribalism and religion and intolerance is not a religious thing. Once again, it's a human thing. Okay? It's a human thing. So which belief system has within it the ability to give value and dignity to those who don't share our views? Which belief system has the ability to do that? I stood on the doorstep of my house. Someone came knocking. It was an elderly gentleman. He was wanting to sell me stuff. That was okay. He wanted to tell me what he believed. That was okay. I listened. I thought, I'm going to have an opportunity here to share what I believe. And then after we'd done that, I said to him, there were some of the things he said that I actually believed in. He said he prayed. I said, well, why don't we pray together? My goodness. It was like, the poor guy went into meltdown. He was trying to share with me. What he was trying to say is, if we pray together, you will pollute my soul. And I said to him, and I didn't get offended. He didn't say it. He was trying to be nice about it. He said, oh, we can't pray together. You know, I don't want to be. You know. I said, buddy, how about you pray and I'll just stand here. Oh, he thought, oh, okay. So now he was really felt cornered, I think, and he prayed this prayer. And some of the things he said were good, and I went, amen. Oh, my goodness. As soon as he finished that prayer real quick, he just took off down the stairs. Can't you see how ironic and maybe even hypocritical that is? He wanted to include me by selling me stuff and telling me about his belief, but then when I wanted to join with him in prayer, he said, no, you're outside my jurisdiction. You can't enter my space. And yet, it was sad, wasn't it? And so we see these groups. So what religion provides the best teaching on respecting people? I want to tell you this morning, you've already guessed it, haven't you? Jesus Christ teaches, even if you hate me, even if you don't like God or you don't like me, the truth is you're still made in the image of God and still worthy of respect. That's what Jesus teaches. You're still made in the image of God and you're worthy of respect. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 5:15 that Jesus died for New Zealanders. He died for all. All. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All. He died for all. So Jesus doesn't look at you and see someone who is lesser than me, but someone who Jesus shed his blood for. He died for all. And God gave you acceptance and dignity and honor to then allow us to change what needs to change so that we embrace his moral laws and truths and embrace the truth that Jesus Christ died for us so that we can be forgiven of our past sin as well. He gives us the opportunity. Is he going to force it on you? No, he's not. You're not robotic. As I said a couple of weeks ago, we're not made as a robot to say, yes, God, I'll do everything you say. No, we've made with a free will to say, God, I want to follow you. He gives us a choice, doesn't he? And that's why sometimes there's so much evil in the world, is because we all are given free choice. And people choose good, and people choose not so good decisions. And then people get hurt, and people get murdered and hurt. Are you still there this morning? Can you see that this idea that religion divides people and causes us to be important may be true of some world religions, but you can't say that of Jesus' teaching, because it seeks to value dignity and give honor to every person. Here's the last one. Okay, here's the last one. We would be better off, I've heard this one, people would say, we'd be better off without religion because religion suppresses human identity. Want to squash people into a certain mold. They just want to squash people into a certain mold. They've got to be like this. They've got to be like this. And, you know, the thought here is that Christianity is all about keeping people, is all about keeping people judgmental and dull and somber and critical. And its aim is to keep people in some metaphorical straitjacket so that their religion will suppress who they are. And, you know, just boring. And, you know, you've got to be certain like this. And if you go to church, oh, you must be like this. And, you know, I was, my mum grew up as a little girl. And then in her teenage years, she grew up in a certain denomination of the Christian church. And it was back, you know, quite a few decades ago. My mum died at the age of 86, so she died 3 years ago. So, you know, you can imagine it's quite a long time ago. And it's back in the 1930s, 1940s. And she grew up in a church, and I'm sure they loved God and they preached about Jesus. But, you know, her idea of church was that when you enter the front door of the church, you don't talk to a person. Talking is not allowed in church. So you come down, you sit, you sing the hymns, you hear the message, you walk back out the door and you hop in your car or you walk home, and that's church. Okay? That was her idea. So when she came to our church and other churches, I went with her too, she was totally amazed. She wasn't critical. She was totally amazed that people before the service were actually talking. And during the service, they actually got a little loud and boisterous and excited. And she is like, whoa, She wasn't critical, never critical, my mum, just like was amazed. And then afterwards, people actually hung around and laughed and joined together, had a cup of tea and enjoyed each other's presence. She was like, whoa, this is good. So when it came to that point on I'm talking now 40 years ago this year, I was in the front seat of my car with my mum. I just brought her to one of our services in this church. And I was driving her home, and some of you heard the story. And I said to mum, do you want to commit your life to Jesus? I parked in the driveway of her house. And she looked at me, and the tears rolled down her face, and she said, yes. Here was a lady that all of a sudden realized she had a religion, but she didn't have a relationship with Jesus. She'd had a thought of what religion should look like, and now she'd seen something different and been touched by God's presence. And I prayed a prayer with her. She repeated that prayer. My brother, who was 10 years of age at the time, 10 years younger than me, was on the other side. He was like wide-eyed. Oh, this is exciting. Because we had a bench seat. It was like Holden Kingswood. You know, those remembers them, you know. She was trapped in the middle of us. Anyway, we all prayed together. She committed her life to Jesus. And you know what? I want to say, my mum, would say it was a very subtle change, but I believe there was a wonderful change in her heart, because she actually would come into church and talk to people. she would actually laugh, and she got excited about coming to church, and she attended church from that point on, and we were a part of it. It wasn't this church. She went to another wonderful Christian church denomination, and she was a part of that till the day she died, and then she went to heaven. She would have been, if I was 20, she must have been about 45, I think. But it was halfway through her life, and then in the rest of her life, she was able to live as a believer in Jesus and walk with Jesus throughout her life. And I'm just saying all of that because there was never Jesus' intention for church to be a place of suppression, or for the Christian faith to be a place of suppression, or you've got to be in a certain mold. The more I read the encounters that people had with Jesus, I see the people became a truer version of themselves, reaching their full potential. Wouldn't you agree? John 10:10 in the Bible, John wrote this. He says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more what? Abundantly. More abundantly. Do you know the Harvard School of Public Health professor Tyler Van Wielen conducted a survey? This is once again Harvard School, a university in America. A survey, a group of people of different nationalities, but people who had a genuine faith in God, involved themselves in Christian practice, like coming to church and talking to God through prayer and reading God's word, the Bible. They were found to have physical and mental health benefits that were different to people that didn't participate in Christianity. People who did had lower death rates, higher positivity, lower levels of depression, less likely to commit suicide, greater levels of purpose in life, and more self-control. I mean, amen. So the thought, doesn't religion poison everything? Apparently, no. And you're a result of that today. And you're an example of that. So this faith in God may actually speak to a part of you and I that no amount of popularity or pleasure or status or stuff will ever fill. Ever fill. And that we are made in the image of God. And that means there's a spiritual side of us that was made to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that we didn't crawl out of the mud some 6 million years ago through some evolutionary process and stand upright and become a human being. Amen about that. That God actually created us, and the first being, Adam and Eve, He gave us a dignity and He gave us value. I don't see a lot of value if I evolve from a little whatever. I see a great deal of value that God created me as an intelligent being, and He loved, and He had purpose for me. And then God, as the team come this morning, do you know that God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to take our place, to take our sin, our failure, our guilt, our shame, and make way for us to ask for forgiveness for our past and be renewed within us, so we don't have to live in depression, hatred, and guilt anymore? It's not that those things mightn't come knocking, but we don't have to live that way. And you know what? Yes, some terrible things have taken place in the name of religion. People have been murdered. People in the name of religion, horrific things have happened. Can I just say to you today, if something bad has happened to you because of religion, can I just say that in no way reflects the heart of my Heavenly Father or of His Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't reflect it at all. And you know what? I'm sorry that that happened. I wish it didn't happen. But that doesn't have to be your bent in life then. There can be a hope in a future. There can be a new day. There can be a new set of values. There can be coming into something incredibly good. Coming out of that which maybe hurts and coming into something where there's peace and joy and genuine joy. Not ha, 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 I'm just happy. No, genuine joy and peace in life. And you know, Jesus, even though all those in the name of religion bad things have happened, He seeks to care for those even who oppose Him. He died for all, not just some, and invites you all to believe in Him. And lastly, Christianity does not keep us in a type of spiritual straitjacket of grumpiness, but gives us a true joy and peace and hope for a great future. I tell you, I wouldn't be without Jesus in my life for all the world. For all the world. It's more valuable than gold, more precious than silver, much better than any life. Can we stand? We're going to sing a song in a moment and we're going to close. God is reaching out through His Holy Spirit, and maybe even here this morning, just reaching out to us, speaking to our hearts, wanting our, touching our lives, and just longing for us just to draw near to Him. And I just want to pray a prayer this morning. I want to pray for you. And maybe this is a first little step towards God today. And it's just saying, you know what? Yes. And not just yes to religion, because I think you would have guessed by my message today that religion, it does encompass Christianity, but Jesus Christ makes all the difference. It's not just Christianity, it's a relationship with Him. And out of that comes a life of hope and a future. And so I just want to ask you today, can we just close our eyes? If you'd like me just to pray a prayer for you today. And it's a prayer, it will be a prayer of response to Jesus. It's a starting point. It's just opening your heart to Him. Just give us a quick wave, if that's you. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again. Anyone? Just, yep. Thank you up the back. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, just here. Appreciate that. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? We'll pray. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let me pray this prayer. You just kind of, this is just a starting point. Just make it your own. Heavenly Father, I just come to you and I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent Jesus and that He actually died for me that I might have life and a future and a hope. And that, that as I come to you, I can be forgiven for my past and sin. I don't have to live in that, but I can live in you. It's not that I'm going to be perfect, I know, God, but I just ask for your strength and help to live for you. I ask you, help me, Lord, just to walk into the life, the days and the future ahead, that I need your help. Help me to be ever so aware that Lord, you can live within me, your holy presence through the Holy Spirit. And as I receive you, you receive me. And I thank you for that. And the Bible says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that He died for me, that I could be, they use this word saved, but it means saved from what? Saved from a life of misery, saved from hell, saved for heaven. All those things, Father, reality. And so I just thank you today and we commit as myself in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Come on. If you made that decision, I'd love to speak to you afterwards. Sometimes it's a process of coming to Him. It's a growing and learning. And I want to encourage you, if you put your hand up today, that's a start. That's a process of starting. And it's a learning. And there's so much more. So much more. Come on, this is a beautiful song.